And the microphone's on. That's good. That's really good. When I first started out in my early career in human resources, my first boss was an Australian. And the space that we had to work in was incredibly small. It was a small company, and we shared a very tiny office. And everything that we needed to do as human resource team happened in that office, which meant that as a new person just moving into this work, I got to see my boss in one-to-one meetings. I saw how she interviewed. I saw how she had meetings with people inside of the organisation, sometimes tricky ones, as well as those with meetings with those that were outside of the organisation. And because I was new, I copied what she did. That was the way I learned. And one day, she asked me to brief a recruitment consultant that she normally dealt with. And I talked to him about the job that we had. And as I was taking him to the door to shake his hand to say, thanks for coming in to see me, he said, are you Australian too? My boss had such an influence on me, I'd even started to imitate her accent. We all follow someone or something. We're all influenced by someone or something. We're all being changed by someone or something. We all reflect someone or something. And of course, my question is, where does Jesus fit into that picture for you? In the book of Acts, which is the story of the early church, how it began and how it grew, there is a remarkable verse that begs this same question. And it's found in Acts 4, but we're going to start in Acts 3, because that's where the story begins. And if you've got a church Bible with you, I'm going to start reading from page 1094, right at the beginning of Acts 3. And if you use something different on your phone or whatever, then you'll find it the way that you normally find it. So we're going to look at the beginning of a story that starts in Acts 3, verse 1. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as John did. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Not surprisingly, people were really interested in this story. If you recognized somebody that you've seen week over week in the city centre, who perhaps is asking for money because they're bound in addiction, and suddenly they were clean, they were tidy, they were not asking because they were free, would you not want to know what had happened to them? Would you not have wanted to hear their story? It's not surprising people were interested in what was going on. But when Peter and John started to share about Jesus, the religious leaders, they were the officials in the Jewish temple, they got really upset. If we flick into the second verse of Acts 4, we read, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. In fact, they got so upset, they put Peter and John in prison. The following day, they went and visited and they questioned Peter and John. And in Acts verse 8, we read this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to the rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And then we come to the verse that I want us to reflect on, and I want us to remember, and I want us to live out day by day. In verse 13, it says this, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were so astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Jesus was who these men were imitating, and Jesus was who could be seen in these ordinary people. The religious leaders could see Jesus in them. The original Greek word we translate as courageous here means to speak freely without any reservations. And that's what Peter and John did. They were ordinary people. The Bible tells us they were unschooled, but they were able to make an extraordinary God known because they had 100% confidence in Jesus. And this confidence came about because of the time that they had spent with him. Many of us don't feel very bold when it comes to talking about Jesus. We get worried about how people are going to react, or we worry that we won't know what to say, or maybe we even have doubts about some of the things that we ought to, or we think we ought to believe in or understand. Maybe we've got a really strong faith, but we just don't know how to put that into words. If any of those things relate to you, we are a little later on this year going to maybe do a bit of training in these areas. But do hear this verse, Acts 4, 13. It is such a gem of a verse. It's a real nugget. It is such an encouragement to us because it doesn't say that Peter and John were in any way remarkable. It just says that God is. They hadn't been to Bible college. They hadn't had any other formal religious education, particularly in religious studies. They weren't experienced or expert communicators. They were ordinary people, just like you and just like me. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And what made the difference was the time they had spent with Jesus. 90-year-old, I can't believe she's this old, 90-year-old Liverpudlian evangelist Jill Briscoe is famous for saying this, the mission field is in between your own two feet at any one time. In other words, our mission field is exactly where we are standing. It is exactly where we are in all of those ordinary places we go to, whether it's the shops, whether it's at work, whether it's in school or in college, whether it's at our art club or our book club or at the gym or at the hairdressers or in the nail bar, wherever it is that you spend your time, that is your mission field, because that is where you are standing or sitting at any particular time. These ordinary places are opportunities for us to speak about Jesus, to freely and boldly show that we're different because we're people that spend time with him. So how do we spend time with Jesus? How do we do this practically? Well, of course, reading our Bible is a really good start, particularly if we're reading the Gospels. And perhaps the New Testament. And if you don't have a regular reading plan, can I encourage you to speak to David Goodall, and he may well be able to help you out. David, I think you're up on streaming. Give everyone a wave in case you don't know who David is. David will set you up with a reading plan. There is so much choice. Pick something. Pick anything. Just do it. Get started and keep on doing it, because you know what happens when we do something over and over again. Zoe, what happens? Becomes a daily routine. It becomes a habit, doesn't it? We talk about this regularly in some of the groups that we lead together. Oh, I've lost my place because I've been looking at people. Another way of spending time with Jesus is in prayer. Talking to him. That's all prayer is. But not the kind of shopping list prayer. Oh Lord, please would you do this, and then would you do that, and while I'm talking to you, could you just fix X, Y, and Z. That is prayer, and that is important prayer. But the prayer that builds confidence, the prayer that builds faith, is the kind of prayer that is reminding ourselves of who Jesus is. We've sung some cracking songs today, haven't we? And in fact, Paul stopped us. I had no idea he was going to do this, but he stopped us and he made us read out some of the cracking words that we have sung today. This reminder of who God is and who we are in him. That's what we want and need to be building into our prayer life if we are to become people who can boldly and confidently share our faith. It's that kind of prayer that remembers who Jesus is, what he has done, that God raised him from the dead, and through him only salvation comes. These are the things that Peter talked about in that story that we've read together. And we need to be reminded of this day by day. You see, what we talk about to God in private, the odds are that is what we will talk about when we go public. Yeah? What we're reminding of ourselves of in our private time with God in prayer, it is highly likely that is what will come out of our mouths when we are talking in those ordinary mission field places. If we have questions about these things, share them with God. He will show up and reveal himself to us. If we have doubts, we can talk about those feelings as well. Ask him to fill you with faith. Ask him to show you the power of his resurrection in your daily lives. When we talk to God about our questions and our doubts, as well as what we do think and believe, it will not destroy our faith, but it will build it. Then maybe we go on to our shopping list of prayer. But it's really important that first we stop, we reflect, we remember and ponder on what Jesus' death and resurrection and the power of his name, what that means to us in our day to day. We rehearse it before God, before we speak it out to others. Tom Wright, speaking on prayer, offers this challenge. He says, if God is truly God, and if Jesus is truly the Lord of the world, we don't pray like people who are hoping this God, this Lord, may somehow be able to pull off a clever move despite the power of other gods and lords. We pray with confidence to the one who is supreme over all and who can do far more than all we ask or think. You see the difference that confident prayer makes when we come to ask God to do amazing things. And we've sung this morning how much greater God is. That needs to fuel our prayer so that it impregnates our conversations. When Jesus was asked by his disciples, how should we pray? He said, pray like this, and we have done that this morning. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so Jesus reminds us that we want to pray with that sense of future reference to help us to remember that one day God intends to bring heaven to earth. He intends to bring heaven and earth together in a new way, and the personal presence of Jesus will be the central feature of this new world. We are encouraged to see that, to hold it, to want it, to be praying and asking for it, and to be believing it for our friends and those we're praying for, the people that we love. And of course, I love the story that we shared in Acts 3, because what are the Jewish leaders cross about? That God was kind. That God did something wonderful for a man caught, bound, unable to live a full life. Of course, we go to God with our prayers, asking him to do kind things in the world because he loves the world. Of course, we pray like that. But our confidence comes when we remind ourselves of who God is, what Jesus has done. We remind ourselves of the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have that future focus where one day we will not be in this black and dark world. Do you know, I so wish the enemy would recognize he's dead. I so wish he'd recognize that he's dead. But whilst he keeps pretending to be alive, and we see evidence of that, we need to hold that that is not the end of the story, because it is holding this truth, believing it and living it, we, like Peter and John, will be filled with the confidence of sharing our faith. You know, there are lots of compliments we can give one another. Pretty top hat. Love the colour. Yeah, your hair looks great and those nails are beautiful. Yeah, can't see anybody wearing a tie. Isn't it lovely? We're a church where people don't wear ties. I can't compliment any of you men on your ties. That's a great compliment, isn't it? But do you know the very best compliment anybody could ever pay us is this: I see Jesus in you. I see Jesus in you. I see Jesus reflected in your face and in your words and in your actions. I see what's in your heart. It's Jesus. Is that not the best compliment anybody could ever pay us? If we are going to live looking for compliments, I want to suggest that gold standard. Yeah, and forget the rest. In Lectio this week, there's been a really lovely prayer. It's been an opening prayer. For those of you that do it, you will have shared in it. But we're just going to conclude with this prayer. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to pause. And if you are able, I'm going to ask you to repeat just little bits of the clause after me. This is a Lectio prayer. Abba Father, loving creator and sustainer of all things, you are God for me. If you're able to say that, would you say it with me? You are God for me. Let's keep declaring that this week in our prayer time. You are God for me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Saviour of the world, you are God with me. If you're able to say that, say it with me. You are God with me. Let's remember Jesus is God with us this week. Holy Spirit, breath of God, bringing holiness, peace and joy, you are God in me. If you're able to say that with me, then do. You are God in me. Let's remember that the Holy Spirit dwells within us this week. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be for us, be with us, be in us. Give us courage and confidence in your death, in your resurrection, in your power, and in your salvation, ordinary as we are. Would you make our conversations extraordinary this week? Amen.